We are so very thankful for our sponsors and supporters who send their offerings each month to help keep this beautiful, intimate worship music touching the hearts of listeners around the world. Claudia and I consider it so important to pray for each of Praise Broadcasting Network's sponsors, listeners, and supporters. Would you take the time to pray with us for them? You may view PBN sponsors by clicking on the sponsor link at our website at www.pbnradio.com. The following 30 minutes of Praise Broadcasting Network is sponsored by Jeff King from Fort Worth, Texas.
That's Jeffy.
That's Remy.
I'm Real Possum. You're listening to Praise Until Dawn on the Praise Broadcasting Network.
Yourself on earth.
Well, this is where I need people that are a lot smarter than I am in computer software. I'm pretty good at computers, knowing how to work around things and all, because I've watched a lot of people and I've used and continue to use and stretch myself. And when somebody's doing something on my computer, like Greg or Sandy or Don or Lisa, I'm watching. And I try to understand what they are doing so that I don't have to ask them next time. I want to be able to do it. Well, what am I talking about? I may have lost hour and a half's worth of work. Important information that I was writing down that I'd been studying. And it was a lot of information. And I may have lost it. I was quickly hitting some key on the keyboard, like a shortcut kind of thing, and I hit something else, and the document completely went off my page, the Word document I was working in. I cannot find it anywhere. I am hoping that it auto-saved it somewhere. If it went to the trash, I didn't find it in the trash. I haven't found it among any of the other documents. I may not be looking in the right place for auto-save. I don't know. There's just so much. There was so much work in there that I... Oh, my... I don't have that kind of time to relook it up. But, worst thing's worse, I'll just have to do it again. Have I told any of you I hate Windows 10? Have I told you that? Yep, I hate Windows 10. So, and the laptop that I'm using is actually a gaming laptop. Now, I don't do any kind of games like that on the laptop, but it was a very good, fast. It had everything I needed on it, and maybe I shouldn't have done that. I don't know. Maybe I hit some kind of gaming control instead of Control S or Control C or something like that, and I don't know. I've seen it jump before the computer, but I've never lost anything like this before. And I mean, just, you know, Claudius, I went in there and said something to Claudia about I just may have lost everything I was doing for the last hour and a half. And, well, just hit Control C. Just go, no. You don't understand. I lost the whole document. It's not on my page. It, poof, vanished. Well, just bring it back up and Control Z. No, you don't understand. The whole document that I was working on vanished. It's not there for me to hit Control Z on. So, anyways. First of all, I want to remind you about our Facebook pages. Praise Broadcasting Network. Go to Facebook.com, put in Praise Broadcasting Network, or my personal page, which is Pat Rutherford 1232. Pat Rutherford, that's RUTHERF as in Frank, ORD as in David. Pat Rutherford 1232. And you will get to our pages. I think I put something up there last night or the night before. I usually do that to my personal pages. Put something up there, and then Mandy's the one that handles the Praise Broadcasting Network page. And she'll ask me, Dad, is it okay to put this up? Honey, I believe God's given you that talent to do that. Go on and do it. So, anyways. Also, don't forget, you can listen to Praise Broadcasting Network any time of the day or night, 24 hours a day, at pbnradio.com. You can listen on any smart device or a computer. A computer would not be... Well, I guess in the strictest terms, it is a smart device. It is the ultimate of smart devices, but I'm talking about like your phone or your iPad, iPod, Samsung. I say Samsung. I just don't know all the others because I have iPad, iPod, a phone, iPhone. So I don't know what all the others are called, but anywhere on a PC, on a Mac device, whether it's an iWatch or a tablet kind of thing, just any smart device. You don't know what a smart device is, ask your three-year-old grandchild. And they're getting younger, so maybe even your two-year-old grandchild will know what a smart device is. Just pull up a browser, pbnradio.com, and click on Listen. Up the top, you'll have some links that you can click on. Also, our podcast is up there. 24 hours a day, you can go to our podcast, and I usually put the current one that we like tonight's. It should be up there by about 2 or 2:30 in the morning Eastern time. I want to correct something that I said last night. Claudia and I always have PBN, Praise Broadcasting Network, going on in the house. And so when I'm studying at home, in the living room, or if I'm in my study, my office, the studio, I can always listen. And it bathes the house. The music bathes the house in the presence of God and in the music. And those of you who have left Praise Broadcasting Network on at your house, and you leave it on while you go to work, or you go to the store, or you go to the mall, or whatever, you go on a trip. Claudia and I do that, leave Praise Broadcasting Network on while we go on a trip. You know what I'm talking about. You come back and there's just something about the peace that's in your house, because the presence of God is in this music. It's worship music. It's praise to Him, and He inhabits that. Well, while I was listening back to the broadcast this morning, the Praise Until Dawn came on. It was a rebroadcast of last night's program. I don't have my Dr. Pepper in here with me. Oh, isn't that great? I'm going to have to go get it in just a few minutes. The rebroadcast, and I heard I was quoting something from last night. I was quoting Romans 6. That's what I said on the air, Romans 6. And I went on to quote this. It says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And I told you that was Romans 6, 1 through 11. Sorry. I was in a hurry, as I seem to always be, to get this down and share it with you, things that I have found, and I gave you a wrong reference. That is 1 Corinthians. I had just quoted something from Romans. I had written it down. I typed it down, and it was in my notes, and I just went on, and I was in such a hurry. I said this was Romans 6, because I was quoting from Romans 1, just the previous verse I had read you. And just Romans was stuck in my mind. I knew it was 1 Corinthians. And the moment I heard it, I went, wait a minute. Wait. So tonight, as I was going back through, I confirmed, yep. 1 Corinthians 6. So, those of you who may replay the program, I'm sure all of you were following along last night as I was reading, or that you have gone back and studied, because I've told you, don't accept anything I say as gospel. You need to go and check it out for yourself. I've told you that many times. And I'm sure many of you had the question on that already. And I haven't checked, but I'm sure most of you went to our website and clicked on contact and had contacted me and said, "Pat, Romans 6 doesn't say that. What version of the Bible are you reading? Because mine doesn't say that. Well, there's a reason it didn't say it. I quoted the wrong, not the wrong verse, I gave you the wrong reference for it. So that's in 1 Corinthians 6. Let's talk about the temple. Finally, we get back to the temple. Finally. It's really very important. For our instruction manual tells us that there is a third temple that will be built. I believe we can read about it in, isn't it Ezekiel? Now that's off the top of my head, so I believe it is Ezekiel. It will most likely be built in the place where the previous temples were built. Where is that? Well, as we look at what is happening today, that's a very, very important question. The problem is there is no one who can adamantly, positively say where the second temple was located. To date, there's nothing that actually says where it was, even though it is said by many people, where it's obvious where it was. Everyone knows where the temple was. Well, both sides seem to have quotes that may point to the temple of Jesus' time being in the city of David or on the Temple Mount. Both sides make some good arguments, yet since it was destroyed in 70 AD by Roman forces from Titus, and then plowed under with the city of Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, in 135 AD by the forces from Hadrian, people have forgotten exactly where it was. Jews were banned from coming to Jerusalem for the longest time. The question arises, which in many aspects seems logical, how on earth could Jews forget where the temple was? It was the center of Jewish life. Well, we've talked about this before. It can actually be answered with another question. How on earth could Jews forget where the city of David was? And they did. The city of David was a thriving city of the Jews for 1,000 years. It was the stronghold of Zion, God's city, Jerusalem, the city of David. It was here during the time of Jesus. That was the Jerusalem that they talk of. When you see in the Bible Jerusalem, that's what they're talking about. When the disciples are talking about the city of Jerusalem, that's what they're talking about. Yes, it had expanded during that time, but the actual city of David, where the palace was, it was there. I'm talking about the king's palace of the kings of Judah. We're talking about the city of David. Generations of families lived there. Then they just forgot where it was once it was out of sight. They thought it was up at the old city of Jerusalem, which was kind of to the west, the northwest of the city of David. Well, couldn't the Temple Mount have suffered the same fate as the city of David? Perhaps the temple was plowed under along with the city of David by Hadrian's forces. So when the descendants of the Jews alive during the time of Jesus came back to Jerusalem, the Temple Mount looked logical, as it is a large, majestic place fit for the temple that they've dreamed about for so long. Did I say that the Jews that were alive at the time of Jesus? I meant the descendants of the Jews who were alive at the time of Jesus. They'd been gone for so long. They see this big place, which others say is Fort Antonia. And it looks large, majestic, fit for a temple, and they think that that's the Temple Mount. And so it goes down through history of this was the Temple Mount, and pretty soon everybody's saying this was the Temple Mount. And nobody really knows. Honestly, I have not come to any conclusion. Both sides make compelling arguments. On the one hand, I want the Jews to be right, that it is the Temple Mount, as that's where they've been believing it was for a long time. On the other hand, it would sure be convenient to find out it was actually somewhere within the city of David. Then the third temple could be built now without any interference of war. One thing we can agree on, both sides: the temple was destroyed and sacrifices ceased. So what did the Jews do? Did they just fold up the tent, dust their britches off, and say, well, that's that? What did they do for worship after the temple was destroyed? Well, just for a bit, let's take a look at what took place after the destruction of the temple. I'm going to admit something that will have many of you just rolling your eyes. I know. Sometimes I'm a little slower on the uptake. I just hadn't stopped to think about it. When I heard about Jews going to temple or to their synagogue, I never thought past the point that it was just a gathering like going to church. This is where they met on Saturday, sang songs, had a sermon, went home, but come to find out, the synagogue is much more than that to the Jews. I just never stopped to think past 70 AD. When the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, the local synagogue in so many aspects took the place of the temple for the Jews until the temple will be rebuilt. I know, go on, roll your eyes, laugh. It is kind of stupid and kind of funny, but here I knew so much about the temple, but it just never dawned on me. The synagogue was a mini temple, so to speak, without the sacrifices. For me, this brings the temple in so much clearer focus. With the synagogue, we can almost, at least, again, for me, almost reach out and touch the temple. And I'm going to stop right there because we get into just an incredible stuff that I have found about the synagogue that I think may open your eyes as well, and some things that took place right during the Second World War that will open your eyes as well. It just, to me, it makes my Bible come alive, and hopefully it does the same thing for you. And hopefully by this time tomorrow, I will have found that lost document that I had worked on for an hour and a half, and it vanished. Maybe I can get Windows 10 to work some magic for me and bring it back. Anyways, this is a time that I love coming here. It's just like the peace in this room that settles on the studio. As we play the music together and as we muse with this music, and talk with our Heavenly Father and let Him talk back with us. This is a precious time that Claudia and I started long ago. A time that for us we call Praise Until Dawn.
Turn more. testing prove there's gold. Hallelujah, you turn mourning into joy.
I love you so. adoration of the Father's heart towards you. You came in here with your offering, and now we're just going to sing it over ourselves as the Father's heart. He's singing it over you. He began this song. He's been singing it over you since the beginning of time.
Before I even knew what
Oh, Just in your own words, sing to him, worship him. Thank you for salvation. hands for a moment. It's in adoration. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Just put in your own words what you're thankful for. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Just an act that God performed for you. Thanksgiving is our response to God's works in our life. Praise is our response to God's character. This, put on your lips just one thing God did for you that you're thankful for, and just begin to repeat it back to him. We were supposed to minister to some folks tonight. Why don't you sit for a moment and just stay in the spirit of worship. We're going to there's a world that loves us that's invisible, and there's a world that hates us that's invisible. And the world that loves us is talk about all the time. The world that hates us, we don't talk a lot about at Bethel. But the Bible says that we should be aware of the schemes of the devil. And I think that sometimes Christians are like we philosophically and theologically believe in the spirit world and in demons. But as soon as we have a problem, we run to the doctor. And I'm not, by the way, Jesus said the sick need a physician. So not at all opposed to the doctor, but sometimes things in our life are actually rooted in another entity. Now, I'll give you an example. Some years ago, I was riding with a friend in a car, and I'll make this quick. When I got into the car, it was just a 10-minute ride. And when I got into the car, I had this picture in my mind, which I'll call a vision, what is in my mind, of him hanging himself from a chimney. And I had this overwhelming sense that I wanted to kill myself. And I'm like, I don't think this is me. I think it's him. And often this is the way the gift of distinguishing of spirits works. That when you have the gift of distinguishing of spirits, what's on someone else will actually affect you. So I got in the car and I had this overwhelming sense that I wanted to kill myself. I'm like, it's not me. I had a good breakfast. And then I had this picture of him hanging from a chimney. So I turned to him and I said, hey, I just had this experience, and I explained that experience I just shared with you. It probably took 30 seconds. And when I got done, before I could finish, he was wailing in the car. Not weeping, wailing. And he turned to me and he said, as he's driving, he said, 6 months ago, every moment of the day, I started feeling like I wanted to kill myself. He said, at times it would get so overwhelming. And he said, last night I got up on my house, I put a rope around the chimney, I put it around my neck, and right before I went to jump, the Lord said, tomorrow I'm going to deliver you.
Shall I say it wasn't a happy childhood? My mom worked morning and she worked evenings, which left us uncovered, and a lot of things happened. I can remember her leaving us under the care of my neighbor next door. He used to tell me all the time that I had big, pretty legs, you know. And I can remember him asking me, won't you let me touch you? And when he did, you know, he gave me money, and there was a store up the street, and I went up and got candy. Then there came a time where he said that, you know, I want you to let Lewis lay on top of you. And I did. From there, the spiral began. By the time I reached the age of 13, I had a baby myself. And my mother got very angry. But she had a boyfriend. I remember the boyfriend making advances at me. And instead of her dismissing him, she dismissed me. I ran into this guy. We got together, and I felt like he would take care of me and my son. I allowed certain things to happen. He hit me, you know. He put guns to my head. Surely he took care of us, but it came with a big price. These men were like 50, 60s. She would ask me, well, how much money did they give you? Did he give you some money? And I would tell her, yeah, you need to give it here, you know? So I would give it to her. I ran into this guy. He took me in and he fed me drugs, crack cocaine. My son, he's seen all of this. I was very angry. I had 13 assault cases. I was sick of everything. It just really didn't matter. You know, I needed money to survive. I remembered how, you know, I went out with the older men. It was just madness. How they would give me money. Crazy. This is the way I lived my life. Men were the way that I bought my food, or the way that I paid my rent. It just had gotten so bad. The street and men is all I knew. It got worse and worse. I didn't know anything else but to go to the street. Not only support my husband, but to make sure my son ate. And I remember walking into a Dairy Queen and I asked him to feed my baby. And the lady told me, she said, anytime your baby's hungry, you bring him here and I'll feed him. I knew I had to do something to get my son up off the streets. You know, I would pray, literally pray, when I was out there. I remember going to get the drugs, doing what I had to do, prostitution, getting the money, coming back, getting the motel room, throwing the drugs on the bed, and asking God, please, please help me. After I got through praying, I would pick the drugs up and just continue to use. It came a point where I was just tired. I was so tired of my life. I was so tired of hurting. I was so tired. I knew they had a warrant for my arrest, you know. And I asked the lady behind the desk, I said, do you have a warrant for my arrest? And she looked at me and started laughing. I said, I just want to turn myself in. She said, baby, I can't find the warrant. I said, no, the warrant is there. It's there, it's there, it's there. In my mind, you say, you got this hot $20, you might as well go on back out this door and go on and get you another hit and just go on. They can't even find a warrant. But something inside of me said, just sit there. And I sit there. And I sit there. And she said, baby, I found it. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And you know, I told God, I can't even see the time that they're talking about. I can't even see 25 to life. But God, whatever you do, I don't want to go back out here the same way I came in. Please help me. And I remembered, that's when my life began to change. That's when I surrendered. Because I didn't know nothing else to do. They had church down there. Church, I didn't do church. But just to get out of the dorm with all those women, I went to church. I began to hear what the pastor was saying. How so many times when we're in, when we've been through so much in our life, it becomes a cover and it covers our souls. You know, and it just, our souls begin to be just, it's just dark because there's so much that is covering our souls. But he said what the Spirit of God does and the Word of God does, it comes in and it begins to peel back the covers. And what happens is your soul begins to get light and you begin to gain strength where you can live. And when he said that, I said, God, this is what's happening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I knew I had to change, but I didn't know how to change. And God, through his word, began to teach me how to change. See, God, if you are God, And if you're the God that they say you are, then God, change me. Change me. And he did just that. He changed my life. My name is Karen, and I am second.
I will stay here for a little while. Till I look like the one I behold, and I will pour out my vial until all of me is on the floor and at your feet. I will sing. Eyes are full of fire, fairer than the sons of men. Your name is pure and holy, for you alone are worthy, cause there is none beside you, Lord of lords and King of kings. So I will stay here for a little while, until I look like the one I behold, and I will pour out my vial until all of me is on the floor and at your feet. I will sing. At your feet, I will sing. At your feet, I will sing. At your feet, I will sing. Your name is sweet like honey. Your voice sounds like the water. Eyes are full of fire, fairer than the sons of men. Your name is pure and holy, for you alone are worthy, and there is none beside thee, Lord of lords and King of kings. So I give you all my worship. I give you. And I will. voice that sounds like the waters. Your eyes are full of fire, fairer than the sons of men. Your name is pure and holy, for you alone are worthy. 'Cause there is none beside thee, Lord of lords and King of kings. Oh, I will pursue.
I long to set out if
stay here a while, lost in the moment with you. Breathe in your fragrance and taste of your goodness, to know that I'll not be denied. How I love you, how I want you, how my soul cries for you.
Come out. Watching a potter work on the wheel is so mesmerizing. And when you couple that with God's word and God's heart, it just connects with people. It just moves people in a really cool way. No matter what their age or their culture, it just works because it's not my story. It's God's story. I like to tailor the potter's wheel to each event, but I usually cover two specific topics. The first one is the process. What I discovered in my own life was that the process of the potter shaping the clay, every step that he takes that clay through, that potters have been doing for probably thousands of years, correlates with the step that we each go through as God is molding and shaping us on his wheel. So I talk about wedging, like getting the air pockets out of our lives, the little places where we're puffed up, and centering, becoming brought and yielding to Christ so he can bring us to the center of his will for our lives, just like clay needs to be brought to the center of the potter's wheel. And opening, potters call it piercing the heart of the clay, because God wants to work inside of our lives and not just make the outside look all nice. Every step correlates with something that we go through as God is molding and shaping our lives. And it's the process, it's the journey that every one of us, as his piece of clay, we're all on. And then the second thing I talk about is Jeremiah 18, where God spoke to Jeremiah and said, go down to the potter's house and I'm going to talk to you there. So Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hand. And I love the fact that he doesn't stop there. He says, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And then God began to speak to Jeremiah, and he said, behold, cannot I do the same thing with you? For as clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands. You know, the world just tells us how to cope with being broken. But God, he's the potter. He's the healer. He brings restoration to our lives. And not only do I know that from my own personal experience, but it's all over God's word. And so that's the message that I've seen really bring a lot of healing to a lot of people over the years.
I stand in awe of you, in awe of you, Jesus, humbled, healed, and held in awe.
My whole desire in bringing this Potter's Wheel demonstration is to kind of spread a feast table for people, so that whether it's through the music or the worship or the Potter's Wheel demonstration, that they can take something that God has spoken to them from that event and go home with their heart being fed.
What I should have been despised. I sing to him while I am waiting. Like a bird upon her nest, waits as the new life grows while she rests. Hope of light in soon coming days will keep me while I wait. Cease the storm. With you, my wanna see your smile written all in your eyes. Jesus, I wanna see you dance and hear you sing over your bride. One with you, one with you, my King. 'Cause I am yours and you are mine, and I'm your bride. I wanna stare at the sun and not grow.
Been listening to Pat Rutherford and Praise Until Dawn here on the Praise Broadcasting Network. Pat and Claudia would love to hear from you. I'll give you the address in just a moment. Thank you for remembering that Praise Broadcasting Network is listener supported. Your donations help keep PBN on the air for listeners just like you all over the world. Donations are tax deductible in the United States and appreciated from around the world. Our address is Praise Broadcasting Network, P.O. Box 2468, Asheboro, North Carolina, 27204. You can also visit our website at www.pbnradio.com. Pat and Claudia love reading your email. You may send it to mail@pbnradio.com or call them at 336-626-PRAY. That's 336-626-7729. You're listening to Praise Until Dawn, coast to coast and around the world, here on the Praise Broadcasting Network.